That's why my mind becomes so stressful. I didn't know.
Today is June 29th, 2017. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Services. We have several work sessions today. Just a quick note on House Bill 3359. We are not going to be having the public hearing and work session this morning. We are going to recess for the end, and we may come back this afternoon. So anybody who is here for that can take off, but we'll note who leaves. Okay, awesome. Also, before we begin, there's a little known fact at LFO, and I just want to put the entire LFO staff on notice for those that are watching and those that are in the room, that lawyer Lori Byerly was quoted in the Lund Report from her testimony the other day, which means she owes donuts to the entire LFO staff. Everybody is, you're welcome. With that, we'll go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 3440.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Meg Bushman-Reinhold with Legislative Fiscal Office. We discussed this bill in public hearing yesterday as HB 3440. The bill removes special training requirements from statutes governing prescribing, dispensing, and distributing naloxone, and requires OHA to publish and report information related to opioids and opiates. There's a -A7 amendment. It combines the -A4 and the -A6, for those of you following along at home, and makes changes to the prescription drug monitoring program and expands the pool of participating practitioners to include practitioners from all states. LFO recommends the adoption of the -A7 amendment.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -A7 amendment to House Bill 3440.
Great, Co-Chair Senator Steyer, ready to move adoption of the -A7 amendment to House Bill 3440. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
All right, LFO recommends that HB 3440, as amended by the -A7, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3440 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Senator Steyer, here it is moved House Bill 3440 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And we'll go ahead.
Williamson to full in the House. And
okay,
the Senate.
Williamson to the full in the House and then on the Senate.
Because it's got 2518, which is my bill.
Okay, perfect. With that, we'll go ahead and close the work session on 3440, open up a public hearing and work session on 2310. Ms. Ames.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 2310 modifies and clarifies the requirements established in House Bill 3100 from 2015 for modernizing the state's public health system. The bill modifies the timeline and process for submitting local public health implementation plans, and it clarifies formula distribution languages, also clarifies how and when a county could relinquish their public health authority to the state. The A5 amendment removes requirements for implementation of specific parts of statute within the 1719 biennium, and that eliminates the direct fiscal impact. However, it is anticipated that some funding will be included to begin implementing this program. The amendment also removes a section that authorizes OHA to establish fees related to data requests.
All right, with that, we'll call up Lillian Shirley and Tricia Mortel.
Good morning, Co-Chair Steiner Haywood and Co-Chair Rayfield and members of the committee. I am Lillian Shirley, Director of Public Health Division in the Oregon Health Authority. And I'm here today, it's an honor to testify in support of House Bill 2310A, a bill that refines our statutes related to modernizing our system of public health in the state of Oregon. We believe these changes will strengthen the public health system's ability to meet the priorities laid out in the statewide modernization plan, which includes demonstrating improved population health through accountability metrics. As a result of the 2016 public health modernization assessment that was conducted after 3100, we found that more than one-third of Oregon communities' core public health programs are limited. And we now know that more than 50% of Oregonians live in an area of the state where the local health department does not have the capacity to address health disparities, leaving some of our communities to face greater burdens of poor health outcomes with less resources. The Public Health Modernization Assessment also found that 25% of our communities, we have very limited communicable disease control programs and ability to investigate. As a result, the Public Health Advisory Board, which was also established by House Bill 3100, prioritized communicable disease control work for the 2017-19 biennium, with the intention that building a modern system to address communicable diseases would also improve health equity and prepare the system for further investments in public health. Communicable diseases are a growing issue in our state. The public health system is faced with a combination of communicable disease threats through an increase in vaccine preventable diseases like mumps and measles. We're currently having another mumps outbreak. New vector-borne diseases stemming from changes in our environment and an increase in international travel, and a growing number of diseases that are now resistant to common antibiotic treatments. And when we say communicable diseases, this investment would include things like sexually transmitted diseases like gonorrhea and syphilis and HIV. I already mentioned vaccine-preventable diseases, healthcare-acquired infections, vector-borne illnesses like West Nile virus, and emerging diseases like Zika and Ebola and H5N1, and common diseases such as foodborne illness and flu, such as our unprecedented new outbreaks of meningococcal diseases in our area. That being said, I just want to give you an example concretely of what we've been observing and why we're here in prioritizing communicable diseases. During 2007, we only had 26 cases of infectious syphilis reported in throughout the entire state. This increased 2,000% to 571 cases reported during 2016. And since 2014, 10 infants have been born with congenital syphilis. This is something that is, we thought this was something from the past, you know, something from before World War I. Cases have been identified throughout the state, and this includes our rural communities. And this is due to a long-term decline in public health resources to identify and treat effective patients and their partners. So without additional resources, we will expect this trend to continue, not just in syphilis, but in the other communicable diseases that we've identified. We know that public health interventions offer the best chance to reduce preventable diseases, increase the population's lifespan, and reduce health care costs, including those in our Medicaid system. It's more critical than ever that Oregon have a robust public health system in order to save on health care costs and protect the health of Oregonians, especially our most vulnerable. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this bill today.
Sure.
Yeah, please, Senator Hayward.
Thank you, Director Shirley. Obviously, I support this bill. I'm curious about one thing, though. Syphilis testing is a routine part of prenatal labs. Did those women not have prenatal care? Do we know? Or is that what happened? They just didn't have prenatal care?
Or they already had syphilis. And they got testing late enough that it was transmitted.
They were tested late enough that it was transmitted.
Yeah.
Got it. That's a disease we didn't used to see very much.
I'm happy to answer any other questions that members of the committee have.
All right, thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Lillian. Good morning, Co-Chair Steiner, Hayward, and Rayfield, and members. My name is Tricia Mortel. I'm Public Health Division Manager for Washington County, so here to talk about local perspective and testify on behalf of the Coalition of Local Health Officials in support of HB 2310A and the $5 million in the OHA budget allocated to fund modernization. As you know, a comprehensive statewide assessment found that to fully implement modernization would require $105 million per year. We understand it will take several sessions for us to get there. But we do have a plan, as Lillian talked about, to focus on the most important need, communicable diseases. She gave you some statistics, things like syphilis increase rates. Chlamydia is the most common reportable illness in Oregon, actually, and we do very little to prevent or protect people from chlamydia at this point. We have other fires to put out. Between 2016 and 2017, cases of mumps, as Lillian mentioned, were a highly infectious disease. There were 47 reported in Oregon. And as these rates of communicable diseases are increasing, we're scrambling to find resources. Our funding is either flat or reducing, and our population is increased, and our communicable disease rates are increased. I testified previously about Washington County's particular number one communicable disease, and that's tuberculosis. Again, something we don't think we're dealing with in Oregon, but we are. We usually have about 15 cases to investigate and manage a year. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a very complex disease. We have to isolate the patient, we have to do directly observed therapy for a year, and we have to investigate who might have been impacted, workplace, church, school, daycare. Others are going to have to receive treatment. We receive 46,540 annually from OHA to deal with tuberculosis. But our county has to put in 600 annually just in staffing costs for this one disease. And again, we're talking a lot about treatment. We're not talking much about prevention. There's very little dollars left in the public health system for actual prevention activities, for those campaigns where we can get out the word that about tuberculosis or about vaccine-preventable diseases. We have little resources for that. So a $5 million investment will begin to drive our public health modernization implementation. It won't get us all the way, but it will get us focused on one of the most important factors happening in our community today. And so I ask you to support the $5 million ask in the OHA budget and to start modernization implementation.
All right. Thank you both. Questions? Yeah, please, Representative Malmstrom.
Well, I'm going to try to keep this to specific to kind of fiscal, but as a public health nurse, I really want to put in a plug regarding, you know, the importance of prevention and spending on prevention. For every dollar that we spend in prevention, it's about $5.60 of savings in health care savings. So that's an important thing to know. If you look at, if we had a 10% increase in county health department spending, that would have a dramatic impact on things like infant mortality, diabetes, you know, heart disease and such. To give it into real numbers, human numbers, that would result in 15 fewer infant deaths, 16 fewer diabetic deaths, 202 fewer heart disease deaths, and 88 fewer cancer deaths. So just to kind of make it a little more real with numbers and dollars, what dollars get you in terms of human lives and suffering.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion or questions? All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead.
Thank you, co-chairs.
We'll call up Stacey Michelson and Jen Baker.
Co-chairs Rayfield, Senator Steiner Hayward, members of the committee, Jen Baker on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association, here in support of funding for public health modernization. I think Representative Malmstrom did a wonderful job of capturing the sentiment that most nurses feel and about this important foundational work and our need to expand and build upon it in our communities. And just urge you all to keep in mind that as you are considering all of the budget issues in this committee, that every dollar invested in public health saves at least $5 on the healthcare system overall. So $5 million is certainly a start to the project that the health authority anticipates will cost over $200 million a biennium. And I do urge you, as we're kind of looking at end of session balancing of budgets, to try to dig a little bit deeper and see if we can come up with more resources to make this work meaningful statewide.
Great. Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Stacey Michelson with the Association of Oregon Counties. I'm here today also to speak in favor of House Bill 2310A and also specifically to chat a bit about the financial piece. We're very appreciative of the $5 million that was included in the OHA budget. As Jen and others have stated, any additional funds are always helpful and help us get toward that ultimate goal of where we need to be for full modernization implementation. But I do understand that there's been some question around the initial $5 million investment and timeline on when that may or may not be released to the agency. And I just want to share a bit of our concern in holding back that money until a further date. Just this last handful of months, we we've had a number of counties reach out to both AOC and OHA with some questions about their role as the local public health authority, some concerns about the strain that that's putting on their budget, or, you know, many of our counties have workforce challenges that they're trying to sort through. Sometimes hard to convince folks to go to places like Harney County, as hard as that may be to imagine. You know, but there are issues of folks leaving, retiring, et cetera, and trying to get new folks in. And so we've struggled a bit in directing those counties, because right now for many of them it seems like their options are to either keep everything in-house or to contract out with a local nonprofit or provider, or to look at relinquishment to the state. And we know that with modernization, we really want to move toward a model where folks are sharing services across county lines, you know, finding efficiencies of scale and more efficient ways of providing services. But right now, that's a bit of a challenge for our folks, because that does require some upfront investment and some time dedicated to exploring what those partnerships may look like, and what, you know, how those new models would function. So for our perspective, having some of those additional funds upfront would really help us and the agency to help our counties who are at a place where they may be ready to consider a new model, navigate what an alternative may look like. Because right now they're really just looking at what they've seen other counties do, and would require some additional support to get folks to look at those cross-jurisdictional partnerships. And I'm afraid that without funds now, they may simply just look at contracting or relinquishment, and that will put us actually further behind when funds are available to convince someone who has just recently changed their model to consider changing it again. So having anything right now would help us work with at least some of those counties who are on the verge of questioning how they want to deal with public health. So I would encourage you to try to make that $5 million available as soon as possible. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both. Questions for this panel? Excellent. Thank you very much. With that, we are already in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the A5 amendment to House Bill 2310.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward has moved adoption of the Dash A5 amendment to House Bill 2310. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing objection, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2310 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward has moved House Bill 2310 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Or is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no, motion carries. I'll go ahead and carry it to the full. Representative Malmstrom, since you have a background, would you like to carry that to the floor?
Certainly.
Excellent.
Senator Monta Sanderson, probably in the Senate.
And then we'll give to Senator Monta Sanderson in the Senate. With that, we'll close the public hearing and work session on House Bill 2310, open up a work session and public hearing on House Bill 3063. All right.
No, we didn't talk about postponing it until this afternoon.
Okay.
Esther, please.
Good morning. House Bill 3063 previously had hearings in the House Committee on Human Services and Housing back in April. Today it comes to you with a Dash A3 amendment that makes changes to the bill. Basically, it is directing the Housing and Community Services Department in collaboration with the Oregon Health Authority to disperse monies in the Housing Mental Health Fund for the development of community-based housing, including licensed residential treatment facilities, crisis intervention, et cetera. Those types of housing-related services for individuals with mental illness and individuals with substance abuse disorders. The bill also directs Housing and Community Services to convene an advisory group to make recommendations for the allocation of these funds between the different types of housing. And that advisory group would also help in terms of soliciting funding proposals and make recommendations regarding the processing of applications for funding. With regard to the fiscal impact of the A3 amendment, Housing is able to convene the advisory group within existing resources. In the 2015 legislative session, there was $20 million in lottery bond proceeds that were approved for this type of special housing. To date, there are about $9.2 million in remaining funds still to be allocated. $4.2 is anticipated to be made available to pair with a veterans housing notice later this summer. And So there's probably still another $5 million left to allocate. Because there are dollars currently left to be awarded, there's not anticipated to be a cost to the Housing and Community Services Department associated with the remaining disbursement and oversight of those dollars in the 17-19 biennium.
All right, thank you. And with that, we'll call up Chris Baumhoff, Cheryl Ramirez, and with sincere reservations, Jonathan Eames.
I have Representative Kenny Geyer here.
Oh, and we'll bring up Representative Kenny Geyer first.
Thank you.
Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee. I'm Alyssa Kenny-Geyer from House District 46, parts of Southeast and Northeast Portland. You have a great panel following me, so I just want to say that it's been an honor to work with Representative Andy Olson on this bill. We were both in the Human Services and Housing Committee, so it's a very good mix of the kind of issues we see with people really needing housing and also needing mental health services. And we know that for people seeking mental health services and stability in their lives, housing is a really critical piece. I've been involved in both of the last two bills that created a fund that actually didn't create a formal fund but allocated $5 million in the first case and $20 million in the second case, and it was a 20%, so there had to be a 4-to-1 match for that. There were a couple of things that slowed down the distribution of those funds. One is that we didn't have a formal structure, advisory committee, and a collaborative agreement between OHCS and OHA. And that is part of what this bill seeks to address. Part of it is that some of the funding restrictions we had, the 4-to-1 match, made it actually really hard because housing is very, very expensive. So this bill does a number of things, and I'll let the panel talk more specifically about what it does to address that situation and put in place a permanent structure. I do want to just say you probably remember in January before the session started, there were 5 people in the Portland area that died who had mental health issues and were out on the streets in those cold spells that we have. So this is really critical. We do need shelters. We know that we have housing needs. We know we have mental health services needs, but this really brings those two together for some of our most vulnerable citizens.
Thank you very much. Questions for the representative?
Thank you, Representative. Okay.
Thank you very much. Now we'll call down the panel. Chris Baumhoff, Cheryl Ramirez, yes. And Jonathan Eames.
Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Chris Baumhoff. I'm the executive director of NAMI Oregon, the state chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, here in support of House Bill 3063. Essentially, what this does is, as Representative Kenny Geyer said, formalizes something we've been doing relatively informal since 2013. It's a concept that we developed with a number of different partners around how could we spur housing development for people living with mental illness, housing being a very broad definition for us in mental health. That could be licensed treatment housing, because in a sense that's where we're living for a period of time while we're undergoing treatment, all the way to independent housing. We wanted to take what was a limited state investment and try to leverage outside dollars. And so in 2013, we started with $5 million, and then 2015, $20 million. We have reconfigured this, so the incentive was, as the representative said, lower. Based on market forces and others, we've increased the incentive to 35%, which we believe still gives the state some powerful leverage with a limited investment. To give an example, we did, through Housing and Community Services, last fall, awarded $3.8 million to projects that turned out to be, in total development, $22.7 million in housing development, 148 housing units, and 12 crisis respite beds. And so, as you can see, that state investment, it leverages this outside financing. As the representative said, we've been doing this with budget notes, and what the difficulty we're encountering is our systems that are required to kind of come together to put these projects together are not natural partners. They're affordable housing developers, they're mental health housing developers, they're mental health treatment providers, they're coordinated care organizations, they're county organizations. This is something new, so we've been doing it on an ad hoc basis, and these partners have not been able to come together quickly enough and formalize relationships, nor make those relationships permanent. This gives us something to organize around. so that our systems can begin those partnerships and when money becomes available can be ready to apply for funds. It also gives, we hope, the legislature a confident place to deposit funds when money is available to invest in this type of housing, knowing that we're going to put it in this specialized fund, knowing that our dollars are going to be leveraged for various projects around the state. Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chairs Rayfield and Steiner Hayward, members of the committee. I'm Cheryl Ramirez, the Director of the Association of Oregon Community Mental Health Programs. Stable housing is essential for recovery in the community. Thank you.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jonathan Heems, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Residential Providers Association. And we also want to voice our support for this legislation. I applaud Mr. Bonoff for reaching out in 2013 to providers. You know, providers and advocates have not always been on the same page and have had a history sometimes of not working very well together. But over the last 4 years, we have found that it has been a wonderful experience to work with advocates and their families, in particular with NAMI, to bring up piece of legislation that we can jointly work on and try to move forward with. And I applied all the efforts of their organization to really reach out and see if we could work on something together. This is the product of that, and it's been ongoing now for 4 years and has yielded some significant success. Mr. Bonoff didn't go into the treble effect that you have from investing a small amount of money and yielding a far bigger return as he's done in years past. It is a tremendous return for the state, and it's a wonderful program where private and public partnerships come together to really yield a great result, which is something we desperately need, which is additional housing in every level of care. From the more severe need where you have people who do need to be in licensed residential treatment all the way down into housing that's just housing with supports. So we encourage you to pass this bill. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank all of you. Questions for this panel? I see questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, we are in a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the A3 amendment to 3063.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward has moved adoption of the -A3 amendment to House Bill 3063. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3063 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Senator Steiner Hayward has moved House Bill 3063 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? When Representative Bueller doesn't come, we got nothing to say, apparently. And for the record, both Representative Bueller and Senator Winters were excused for the earlier votes. With that, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. We will.
Senator Winters would like
to carry it to the full, and then the on the Senate floor. On the House side, we have Olson and Kenny Geyer. Why don't we just put them both as co-carriers and they can sort it out.
Can I co-carry with you since I'm the chief on the bill?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So we have co-carriers on the Senate side and co-carriers on the House side of Olson and Kenny Geyer. With that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and work session on House Bill 3063. And we're going to stand at recess until...
Before you stand at recess, I would like permission to vote on... miss something? Did I miss
that? Yeah. Yes. Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended so that Senator Winters can vote on House Bill 3359 and
we
House
didn't do 3359.
Oh, sorry. On House Bill 3440 and House Bill 2310.
Yes. All right, Senator Gillis moves suspension of the rules so that Senator Winters can vote on House Bill 3440 and House Bill 2310. Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator Winters, how do you vote on House Bill 3440?
Aye.
You guys aren't used to that. We hear it all the time.
And how do you vote on House Bill 2310?
Aye.
All right. With that, those bills still carry. with that, before we go, Ms. Dykstra, for the LFO staff, in terms of donuts, this Byerly is going to need to purchase for the entire staff. Do you have a preference?
Mr. Co-Chair, I personally do not, although there are those in our office who are particularly fond of those twists and maple bars.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No jelly filled?
Well, There are about 20 of us. So
a lot of variety is always appreciated. That's a lot of donuts, Mr. Chair.
So we're standing in recess until 4:30, right?
Recess until 4:30.
So. Okay. And does anybody know if we're back in this room? No, we'll find out.
Our wonderful staff will let us know. All right, we're coming back from recess. We have one final thing on the agenda, and that is House Bill 2300. We'll go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 2300. Ms. Ames.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2300 with the -A8 amendment creates the Mental Health Clinical Advisory Group within OHA, responsible for developing evidence-based algorithms for mental health treatment with mental health drugs, but is expected to make recommendations on a broader array of issues related to mental health drugs. The group will report back to the legislature for its final report December of 18. In addition, the bill requires OHA to continue to reimburse the cost of mental health drugs without restriction through January 2nd of 2020. You will see on OLIS there is the policy bill. The A7 is listed as proposed. The A8 simply has the fiscal put into that bill. The cost is $144,000 general fund in order to provide support for the group.
Senator Winters.
I was just going to say good bill do pass.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Please.
Thank you. The only thing I would add is this. I think this is a really important bill to pass, and I'm really glad we're doing it, and I appreciate Senator Winter's help with it. We need to have similar conversations about drug use, especially, you know, unified lists of drugs and consistency to improve purchasing power, stuff like that, across the CCO. So while I recognize that this bill specifically calls for which it established this mental health clinical advisory group, I hope that the agency will continue to pursue conversations with the CCOs about the overall pharmacy benefit part of our OHP, our Medicaid program, so that we can start to leverage and we don't have people running in and out of lots of different PBMs and things like that, because I think we lose options that way. We lose power that way.
Senator Winters.
Yeah. I'm seriously now, those of you who know me and know the work that I've done over the years since I've been in this building have been the issue of mental health and assuring that our most vulnerable population, that we make certain that we're giving them what they need. And so I have, those who know, to make certain that for this population that the drugs that they're taking or that they need, that we don't put them at risk. And so, you know, this has been my theme from the time I hit this building in 99, and it continues. I had an agreement with Dr. Bruce Goldberg and as well as Governor Kitzhaber, when we made the transformation to create the CCOs, and we also included in that, as you know, behavioral health to integrate it with physical health. Before that time, you know, we treated the mentally as though there's a silo over here. And I want to be sure that we're able to make certain this integration goes very smoothly. I think those who know me, and one of my testimonies several years ago was, I believe it was in front of Representative Greenick's committee, and that was that I refused to play Russian roulette with the mentally ill population. So this is consistent with the work, and I'm glad, you know, that we're able to have this algorithm study to give another tool to our physicians with which to work with the population. So I need to say that for the record, and I thank, you know, NAMI and others who and OHA working with me to make certain that we're taking the next step.
Sorry, Representative Hayden, for me.
Thank you, co-chairs. So very supportive. I've said many times that mental health is the next frontier for Oregon's health transformation. But I do have to question, you know, Oregon Health Authority has nearly a $20 billion budget, and we're talking about, compared to that, very, very small numbers. They've got over 4,000 or 4,500 employees. We've set up a pharmacy advisory group for other purposes in pharmacy. Why is it not able to be part of their existing duties? I mean, this kind of seems like if you got a $20 billion budget, why do we need to do legislation to force this to happen? Why is this a carve-out of what they're already doing?
Well, it's not unusual, you know, periodically for us to have to give directions and carve a specific piece out for agencies. And you also have to remember that we're talking about setting up and developing the algorithm, which has not been done by OHA to date. And so it is to try to work with them to assist them. And I'm not certain whether that they have the skill set at this moment to do it. And I want to make certain that they do get the skill set to do it. So it is plowing new ground, even for them. And so for that reason, we did, you know, in working with them, set this aside. And even though, you know, sometimes, as you know, we may have, quote, pharmacy, or we may have a system in place, but that system may not encompass all that we need for it to know or do, and so that's the reason.
Please, Co-Chair Senator Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you. I would just want to echo what Senator Ware said about the importance of full integration, and the other thing I want to point out about this bill that's really important, and that Oregon has a history of doing really, really well, is using evidence-based practices, especially in medicine, and that we've been doing since the development of what's now the Hurt for Health Evidence Review Commission back in 1991 that Senator Bates was absolutely integral to really helped get us off the ground on the right foot. And it's one of the reasons that we have been successful in controlling our health care costs. And it's also clear that this bill will dovetail nicely with the budget note that we put into the OHA budget about ensuring that the behavioral health collaboratives are up and running by next July, because that's a really important finding out of the behavioral health work group that Senator Gelser was very active in, I know, and many others did a lot of hard work on. So I think this dovetails really nicely, and it's a very good complement to it. So.
All right. Well, just to close my comment, very supportive of the policies. We need to get that. We need to get the coordinated care organizations organized. We need to help them get more buying power, specifically with very expensive drugs, so they're working together, not as 16 different purchasing entities. So comparatively, it's a small fiscal, so I strongly support the policy. But I still think they should be able to incorporate that, but I'll support the policy.
All right. So with that.
Mr. Chair, I move the -A8 amendment to House Bill 2300.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward has moved the -A8 amendment to House Bill 2300. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2300 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward has moved House Bill 2300 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Malmstrom, please.
No.
I mean, why not?
The last committee hearing.
Oh, okay. Hearing. So we should comment about that.
I would like a passionate argument from you. So.
Well, I think it's a high time that we put a conclusion on our work if we were done with the last bill. So. It's been a pleasure to work with all
you. I would caution you that we may not be done. There's at least.
Oh, well, I heard some talk over here.
That we might. I don't know. Theoretically, this is our last meeting, but it's possible we'll be back either tomorrow or Monday.
What are the two bills?
The one that we didn't end up hearing this afternoon and one other that may be coming our way.
Well, so, I'll be glad to come back for those.
But I don't know.
Still pitching.
What?
I'm still pitching for my veterans.
Right, and Representative Hayden's bill.
I think we're all still pitching on something in this building.
Yes.
That's the way it works this time of year.
Representative Alonso Leon?
I wholeheartedly support this bill, and I'm excited that we're going to be voting on it to move it forward.
All right. Senator Gelser?
I look forward to voting aye, and I'm glad we protected the Metal Arc.
Oh, that was really a cheap shot, Senator.
I don't know if that was necessarily germane to the bill. Can we get a ruling from LFO staff?
That was really, Ms. Ames, is she allowed to impugn me like that?
Yeah, we need a ruling from...
See, I didn't even know who she was impugning.
All right. So with that, is there any objections to the motion? All right, seeing none, motion carries. We'll have the good Senator Winters carry that to full and the Senate floor. And then on the House floor, Representative Hayden, it's been a while. And you spoke so eloquently on this bill and asked numerous questions. I think, would you do us the honors?
Yeah, yes.
An enthusiastic yes. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and close the work session. And I guess... Yes.
Well, why don't we adjourn but ask everybody to stay for 2 seconds?
All right, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
You can do that.
And adjourn the meeting.